Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Ghar se dola chala ladni ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka. Ghar se dola chala ladni ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka. Kitne nazo se pala tha humne, har tarah se sambhala tha humne. Haaye humse juda ho rahi hai, haaye humse juda ho rahi hai. Ghar ki yaadon mein wo kho rahi hai. Aaj babul ka rona na poocho, aur maa ka tarapna na poocho. Aaj babul ka rona na poocho, aur maa ka tarapna na poocho. Ghar se dola chala ladli ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's a beautiful mashallah Tuesday morning, and of course it's time for the bliss of marriage. 4 minutes after 11 South African time. I want to welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface, who's with us this mashallah Tuesday morning on the bliss of marriage. Well, it's 14th of September 2021, which is also the 6th of Safar 1443. I hope you all are well, my wonderful beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company, and I hope all our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132, international overseas listeners, plus 2784-786-3132. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad on this beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning. And of course, it's the bliss of marriage. Any questions you have, you know exactly what to do. Send me a message on our WhatsApp number. Of course, our beloved Ustad will, inshallah, highly, inshallah, answer to your questions. Ustad, it's a beautiful morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Tazakallahu khairan.
There's a listener saying, yeah, my husband has three other wives, Ustad. Four in total. How should his will be written out? He has kids from all of us and his parents are still living. Do they also inherit? He has severe COVID. Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, this husband of yours, four wives, and he's got children from each one. He's a real sharpshooter, mashallah. Allah give him complete shifa-i kamil, with his mercy and grace. So first and foremost, if anything happens to him, will be the burial funeral expenses from his estate. If somebody wants to pay for it, that's fine. Second one will be the debts of the deceased, personal debts, business debts, corporate debts. Third one was wasiya. Wasiya is for non-heirs, a person, organization, and maximum one third of the net estate, and fourth will be the shares of the heirs. So when the husband passes away, there's a child and children, then the wife get 12.5%. In this case, you don't mean 12.5 each. No, that each one of you will just get less than 3% each. Remember that. So whatever he gives you now during the marriage, so that is yours. But after his death, your people's shares will be less than 3% each. Remember that. And thereafter, you say that their parents are alive, so his parents will inherit one third. 1/6, 1/6 collectively. So meaning 1/6, 1/6 individually and one third collectively and equally. And then the remainder will go, you put all the children, 10 sons and 5 daughters, for example, so of the remainder then, so you got 12.5%, and then you got there, that is, you must remember that one third, so that will give you 45% plus minus I'm giving, so the remaining 54-55%, so now if he's got 10 sons and he's got, you must remember, 5 daughters, so that 55% that is left, you make 25 shares of it, and 20 shares will go to his 10 sons, and 5 shares will go to his 5 daughters, 1-1 each. So that is an example, obviously, I gave. So all will inherit. All 4 wives will inherit, the parents will inherit, and all the children will inherit, and the ratio will be 2-1 for sons and daughters, and his siblings, brothers, sisters, none of them will inherit.
Let's go to Pogsberg, Ustad. So can a wife write out her husband's will after he dies from Pogsberg, Ustad?
It's haram to do that, because that will be now fraud. So he did not write the will out, and you are writing it out and creating the perception, impression that he wrote it out. So there are 2-3 different scenarios here. If your husband is alive, then you must remember, tell him it's wajib, compulsory upon him to write out his will and draw up the will, and it must be according to the Sharia. And if the husband passed away already, so and there was no will, so you must remember he died intestate. That's a major, major sin. And you know, for Quran teaches us, for cases like that, you'll end up in Jahannam, Allah forbid, for very, very long time. Because whichever country he or she passes away, now the law of the land, that is the country where they are, that will apply. So let all the process go through with the master and so forth, and then you, the wife, the children, the parents, whoever, so you must have a redistribution done, and the redistribution will be done according to the Islamic shares. Let's say now he passed away, that is your husband, and now it is you, the wife, so one wife, right? And then he's got 3 sons and 1 daughter, for example, I'm just giving. So after the burial expenses, then the debts of the deceased, personal business debts, wasiya if he made for non-heirs, then the shares of the heirs, wife 12.5%, and then the daughter 12.5%, and the 3 sons 25%, 25%, 25%. So 75% for the 3 sons, and the wife and the daughter, their shares will be 12.5, 12.5. That's just an example I'm giving, but that will be how you will redistribute it Islamically. So that is what, but you can't go and forge a will and so forth. That will cause big, big problems. Then they can contest it and charge you and go to court and lot of stories. And Islamically also, that would be unacceptable.
Subhanallah. Somebody says here, Ustad, that the brother is from Pretoria. He says, dear Mufti Saab, I refused to divorce my wife and I have remarried, but didn't give my wife a divorce as yet. We separated for 3 years already. I pay all her bills. Can she have her marriage annulled by a Maulana, Ustad?
We don't know what the whole story is, but anyway, you must remember that the husband and wife are not living together. They're leading separate lives. And the husband is getting on with his life because now he married another lady. And this wife here, he's not bothered about her in this sense. He doesn't sleep with her. He doesn't spend time with her. He doesn't fulfill her conjugal relationship. So in a case like that, there are valid grounds for fasakh an annulment of marriage. But before you take that step, you should ask yourself that what has led to this situation here? Why is your husband so turned off that he doesn't want to spend time with you and so forth? But you are the mother of his children, it seems, and he is paying all the expenses and so forth. So we need to know the other side of the story as well. But anyway, on what you call prima facie evidence, if you just take the superficial of it and so forth, then there are grounds for fasakh. But therefore, for fasakh, remember, when you go to the ulama or you go to the jamiat or whoever you have confidence in, then both parties have to be present. They can't pass a verdict and a judgment just listening to the wife or listening to the husband or so forth and so on. Both parties is like a court case. And then if they see that this woman is being really treated unfairly, unjustly, they will request the husband to divorce her and release her from his nikah and marriage. And if he's still the refuser but is guilty, so in a case like that, then that ulama and so forth, the tribunal, they will then annul the marriage and make fasakh. So we can't just say definitely, we have to see and listen to both sides of the story, but superficially it seems that there are grounds, because 3 years and there's no real contact between husband and wife is very long time, and we don't know what is the other side of the story. And for you, the husbands, to leave your wife, kal mu'allaqah, that is the term the Quran mentions, just suspended in the air. She can't marry anybody else, and you as the husband, you are not fulfilling her rights. That also is haram and not permissible. So therefore, everything we will find in the Quran Sharif, we will find in the Sunnah Mubarakah, and then it will be expounded and explained by the great, great scholars and fuqaha and jurors of Islam. See Surah 4, Surah Nisa, and verse number 129, they all might tell us, speaks of that. When there are arguments, disputes between husband and wife, both parties should then realize what sulhu khair, reconciliation is the best. But for reconciliation, both parties have to make compromises. Wa uhdiratil anfusu shuh. So that is our advice. And remember that what I told you, superficially, it seems you have grounds for fasakh and annulment.
I see the brother says, I won't divorce her and I will divorce her on my time, Ustad.
So you must remember to keep her hanging on the air like that is sinful. Remember that, brother, you can't be doing things out of spite and then you say that no, that, but I am paying. That's not all, it's not sufficient. Anyway, we carry on with the next question.
Somebody says, yeah, Ustad, listen to this one here. Mufti Saab, I got married 40 years ago. My daughter's friend's kid proposed to me. She's only 21. Would it be wrong for me to accept a proposal? She is crazy over me, Ustad, anonymous.
Now let us take this as a case study and see. You got married 40 years ago. Now you have your children and maybe you even have grandchildren, be that as it may. So now your daughter, now she brought her friends, you must remember, to your house and so forth. And you threw all the laws of hijab and parda away. She threw all the laws of parda and hijab away. Your daughter was very naive and simple-minded. She never dreamt that anything will happen. So you were just talking, used to eat together, joke together, laugh together. So all that haram activities were going on, and nobody even dreamt that, you understand, they are trampling upon the Sharia. Then she looked at you and said, but this is a good sugar daddy I got. He's very, very rich. Look at how he gives his children and so forth. And therefore she makes a pass at you. You know what? Then why you don't just marry me? So it's haram for you to marry her. You must remember that. First of all, your interaction with her is haram. Second one, the laws of hijab, all of that have been trampled. Third one, you know you won't do justice and so forth. So all these are factors you must remember, that even if you get married to her, it is based on bina'ul fasid alal fasid, which means that you are building a structure on something that is already defective, and it is based on your lust and desires, and she is going to marry you because of your money and so forth, not because of your piety or something. If there was piety, you should not be flirting and talking with her and joking with her and so forth. So therefore, for both of you, and that your daughter's friend, is haram for her to come to the house now, and you must make it very clear to your daughter as well. Because we allow all these activities to go on, and when we tell you about hijab and parda, you say these Maulvis are talking about the Stone Age and all that is modern times now. So this is the modern result you will get now. She will destroy you and your whole family, remember that. So therefore, you must sever all ties with her.
I see the listener says, dear Mufti Sahib, my family will never ever be united until our elder sister brings back our father's inheritance. She's a greedy dog, Mufti Sahib. She's living it up. Hell with you, big sister. You will rot in hell. It's almost 9 years, dear Mufti Sahib. Ustad.
Remember that, just look at it. Thus far, Mona Arafat read about 6 questions, I think. From there, definitely 3 were to do with inheritance, 50% plus minus, right? Now, I'll answer the question just now. What I want to address you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, and the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, each one of us, male, female, father, mother, married, unmarried, ask ourselves this one question. The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, is mentioned in Abu Dawood Sharif. Habibuna Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yabitu laylataini illa wa wasiyatuhu maktubatun indahu. That you must not even allow 2 nights to pass, but your will should be written and prepared already. 2 nights. Allah. We allow 20, 40, 60 years, and still the world is not ready. Now, who do you blame? Second one is this, that you, the siblings, you cursing your sister, you will be justified because she stole your share according to your question. She usurped your money and your rights and so forth and so on. But I need to go back. When that father or mother passed away, what did they do? Did they have a will? Was it Islamic? Why did they make her the executor? Or why did she have a free will and so forth to do as she pleases? So remember, you, the sister, if what your siblings are saying are correct, that you usurp the millions or thousands and now you are living it up, you must remember you won't get away with it, nor in this world, nor in the year after. Every morsel of food you are taking, you are giving your children, your spouse, whatever, so kullu lahmin nabata min suhtin fannaru awla bihi. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, every piece of flesh that grows, increases, develops with haram income, it goes to Jahannam and the hellfire. So remember, you feeding yourself with haram, feeding your children, grandchildren with haram, feeding your husband with haram, so there's no barakah, blessing in that. So don't think you'll get away. And in the year after, the consequences and the ramifications are very, very severe. This is not I'm telling you. Almighty Allah is telling us as Muslims. I prescribed the shares of the heirs in the Noble Quran. Surah number 4, Surah Nisa, chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verses 11, 12, 13, 14. Allah Jalla Wala states, Fareedatam min Allah. The shares of the heirs have been ordained, prescribed by Allah, and it behoves and befits Allah alone to do so. Inna Allah kana aliman hakima. Verily, He is the only one that is all-knowing, His knowledge all-embracing, all-encompassing. Hakima is all-wise. Then He gave us 2 options. We do things properly, all the heirs receive their shares after all the debts and everything are paid, then وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That's the supreme success.
Allah.
And then the executor or the heir or somebody else usurps the rights of the heirs and takes more, deprives them, decreases their share, and all this is done intentionally, deliberately. Surah chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 14, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ. People who rebel, who are disobedient, obedient to Almighty Allah, to Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the message of Islam. They go beyond the limits. They enrich themselves with ill-gotten gain. Yudkhilhu naran khalidan fiha. Allah dispatches them to Jahannam forever. Forever means for very, very long time, because the word khalidan fiha is mentioned. But abada is not mentioned. Therefore, we won't say forever, ever and ever. We will say very, very long time, provided that the person died with Iman and Islam. Walahu azabun muheen. And for that person, there will be a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. Allah Ta'ala protect us.
Ameen, 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 summa ameen. I see the sister says, dear Mufti Sahib, may Allah grant you long life, inshallah, for speaking haqq. And he's the lawyer, and our elder sister, they took the inheritance, not the Islamic way, ustad.
Obviously, that he, the lawyer, whoever it was, he was more interested in his share, that he told the sister, this is a loophole you got. So let's go for that loophole. You will inherit extra 100,000 million, and from there I will get my 20-30% in what have you. She was happy to do that. He was happy. Therefore, to all the lawyers, accountants, and Molanas or whoever, so including myself, obviously, and whoever else, wala takul lil kha'inina khasima. Never defend the person who is guilty. So, yeah, the daughter cut the deal with the lawyer cut the deal with her. Both of them took that ill-gotten gain and they enriched themselves. And remember, they go to Jahannam, the Quran says, because you know deliberately you are usurping the shares of the heirs and all Allah. Obviously, we answer the questions as they are posed to us. So every lawyer, every accountant, every Maulana, Mufti, judge, Qazi, whoever, we should be reading these verses of the Noble Quran, chapter 4, Surah Nisa, and verses 105, 106, 107, 108. And there Almighty Allah is giving us directives. When the time comes to give decisions, people ask me a question. I want to make my son a lawyer. Permissible? I say, yes, permissible. He can become a lawyer, but he can't become a liar. So remember that in easy terms. So that's exactly what the Quran is teaching us here. That because people, for money, money speaks all languages, money is sweeter than honey. So what if the heir is going to get deprived? It's not our business. They will say, you take your million, I will take my 100,000, 200,000 cut, and we carry on. So in this world, you might get away, but we are Muslims. We believe in the justice of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. Sooner or later, Allah ki lati be awaze, the stick of Almighty Allah will hit and strike, and then you see humiliation, disgrace. See what is happening in the world today. Allah alone protect us.
Ameen, 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 summa ameen. Usad is a student of Deen, passing salams to you. She says, dear Mufti Sahib, I am divorced and I've got a son. My ex, of course, my ex-husband does not even give maintenance for my little boy, dear Mufti Sahib. The last he came to see my son was January this year. Now because this week Saturday is his birthday, now he wants to come and pick up my son. Is it right, Mufti Sahib, what is he doing?
So what you must do is this. You must go to a lawyer or go to the maintenance court. You don't go to the ulama and jamiat and them. None of us got power. We can just give suggestions, advice, advisory capacity. But we cannot have tanfees. We don't have the power to implement. And we don't have the power to punish the people. Obviously, that you are a taliba, a student, Allah alone knows what happened, how the marriage turned sour. But there's a masoom child involved and he doesn't pay. The last time he came was 6 months ago, 7 months ago. So you tell him you must first pay everything, you must remember, and then you talk about visitation and so forth. You can't have your bread buttered both ways. That one side you must remember, you don't pay, and then when it's birthday, we don't even believe in birthdays, but these are not permissible. So you must tell him he must first pay, and then, and not only for now and the future he must pay, and then you can talk about visitation and so forth. But better than all that, take him to court, and you must make sure he pays for till the son reaches the age of 15, 16 and so forth.
Anonymous sister says, dear Mufti Sahib, he was on drugs, Ustad.
Yes, that's the problem. They'll have money for drugs, they'll have money for alcohol, wine, dine and swine, but they won't have money for their own children. That is why Islam said all these things are haram, remember. remember that. But you must put your foot down. It's not your responsibility that you must pay for the expenses of your beloved son. It's his responsibility. Your parents might be rich. Your parents might be helping you. Your brothers or sisters might be helping you. But that, they're just doing a favor. The responsibility, owner's duty is on the biological father. So that is the point I'm making. You must take him to court. You must remember that and say that this is what he's doing and so forth and so on.
I see somebody from Roshni says, my sister married a druggie, dear Mufti Saab. She refuses to leave him. Now she's starting to sell drugs. Can we break the marriage with that anonymous sister?
See, now again, and there in your part of the world, you say, my sister, you from Roshni, just next to Roshni, there in the dear, my student is there. Oh, Maulana Limbada is there. Sometimes he comes, we talk, and then I ask him, you know, and when he gives me certain stories or statistics, even I feel like crying. And we're speaking about primarily 90-80% Muslim. And Muslim who? Muslim women. So imagine, now a marriage took place, right?
Mm.
So there afterwards, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. She thought that person was a good person or that. Then she realized that she got married to a druggie. So she said, never mind, she'll give him second chance, third chance, fourth chance, whatever. Then he saw his opportunity that this wife here can't live without me. So he started supplying her drugs, right? So that is what happened. Now both of them are drugs. They are addicted to drugs. Now she is selling drugs. And tomorrow when she cannot pay the drug merchants, then she will have to sell her body. You must remember that. Believe you me that I'm telling you that this industry is a ruthless society, community, and whatever you want to call them. They will sell you the drugs to the Muslim woman, non-Muslim woman, and the day you can't pay, you must remember that they will take you and you will have to sell your body as well, Allah forbid. So think what we have done. Therefore, Rahmatulil Alameen, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was, is, will always be the most merciful and a mercy, you must, in the creation, the most merciful to the entire universe. You must remember that. And what did he, Rahmatulil Alameen, who was a mercy to the universe, say? Al-Khamru Ummul Khabais, Al-Khamru Ummul Fawahish. In Islam, alcohol, intoxicants, drugs, all fall under the category of khamar. And khamar, Islam condemns it. Every drop of it is haram. Surah chapter 5, verses 19-91. And the hadith, Nabi alayhi salam said, one day I was in Medina Munawwara and I met one big sheikh. And obviously we were speaking Arabic and I told him, you know, I'm in the media and so forth. He was amazed, you know. He told me, you come with me, I'll take you home. So we had some tea and kahwa and what have you. Then he told me what you want. I say, Sheikh, I don't need money, I don't need anything. But you got something which I don't have. So he said, but what is that? I said, I need kitabs. So, you know, I'm a lover of Arabic kitabs. Said, you need Arabic kitabs, what you want? I said, I need. He brought the whole box from his personal and he said, take all this.
Oh,
one book he gave me there, hey, Al-Khamar, Fidaw Il-Kitabi wa Sunnah, words like that. So in that kitab, you will find excellent mawad and material there. So regarding alcohol and so forth, so in that book, you will find this ahadith there. Al-Khamru Ummul Fawahish, Al-Khamru Ummul Fawahish, Ummul Khabaith, is the mother of all vices, is the mother of all evil. And that is why we must remember that Islam, as said, is totally haram. So what must you do, the family? Take that daughter, sister of yours away from there and give that husband an ultimatum that he must stop his drugs and selling and so forth. And she's also no angel. She's also guilty, your sister, your daughter. She's also on drugs. She's also selling and so forth and so on. So she also needs to clean herself and get detoxified, whatever you call it, and cleaned up, and then see if they can reconcile. But believe you me, I won't blame him only. I will blame your daughter, your sister as well. Because why did she stay in that marriage for so long? Initially, she was not on drugs, but she knew the husband was on drugs. Yet she continued with it, and maybe they had children. Then she said, let me try. And now she's addicted, and now she's selling to others. Inna lillahi. And we're speaking of Muslims. We're not speaking of non-Muslims. So that's why the pain is even more when our Muslims get involved in the sordid industry and haram stuff. And every income of theirs, selling the drugs and buying, everything is haram A to Z. Every Muslim can understand that.
Ustad, I think the family knows you. The sister, she is crying and she says that they've got two beautiful daughters and the daughters are staying with the sister, Ustad.
So you see that what you must do is this. You are there in Roshni, right? That's what I assume and presume. So you must go to Mona Limbada. You just take my name, it's fine. Whether you know me, don't know me, it's not important. I can't help you anything in the. I can just give you advice and end of the story. But he's got the expertise. He handles hundreds of problems and is helping some people. He can't help everybody, but it helps some. So there's no harm for you. It's not far from you. Go to Mona Limbada, there, Riaz Limbada, and mashallah, he's very good in this field and they cater and specialize for women. So go there, speak to him, save the life of the two daughters. First the husband, then the wife. Now both parents are involved. If you leave status quo, it will filter down to the children. So where are we going to end with all these things here? And you, the Kala, the Masi, Allah reward you that you're taking care of the two daughters. Al Khala to be Manzilatil Rahmatulil Alameen. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa said, the Khala, the Masi, the maternal auntie, takes the place of the mother. My one advice, if you can, keep those two flowers, daughters, there to be your nieces, and don't give them to the parents because the parents are drunk. Let me be honest about it. They're drunk, they won't even know what they're doing, and remember, they will destroy this innocent children's life. Till they get clean and so forth, then you can think of returning them. That's my advice to you.
I see Ba from Nigel, who study says, Ba, what is wrong with our young daughters? Why are they getting married to all these horrible, terrible people? Now look at this. This is Ba from Nigel, Ustad.
My brother Ba in Nigel, it don't start there. It starts from the father, mother, husband, wife. You see, when they got married, so what they did? They just saw the mal and they saw the jamal. They saw the money and they saw the beauty. And then they got married. And then they went for a whirlwind honeymoon. They went to Malaysia, went to Mauritius, went to Maldives, and they were living it up, all three M's, M3, you know, the BMW M3. So Maldives M, Mauritius M, and Malaysia M. So they said, this is good. Thereafter, now anywhere the income came, halal, haram, who's interested in that? So the haram income came, they ate haram, everything, when they to fulfill the conjugal rights, they had no business of reading du'as and all that. So they see the TV, whatever the TV tells them to do, they do that. So Almighty Allah taught us in chapter 17, this is what you see, Allah informing me and you. So the shaitan, Allah Ta'ala told him that you get out from here, you expelled. And washarikhum fil amwali wal awladi wa idhum. And then you must do three things. There's many more things, but I'm just reading this. You, Satan, Lucifer, shaitan, you become a partner with them in their wealth. So the income will not be halal, it will be all contaminated, mixed up. Who's worried about halal, haram nowadays? Majority Muslims are not worried. Well, awlad, who's worried about children? The wife can have an affair, the husband can have an affair. You don't even know sometimes the child is yours or not, Allah forbid. Who's worried about whether we read the dua before going to the wife or the husband? Bismillah, jannibna shaitan. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Take the name of Allah. Ya Allah, save us, protect us, keep us far from shaitan. That is the couple. And wa jannibi shaitan ma zaktana. Ya Allah, put the shaitan far, far away from the awlad, the offspring, progeny you will bless us with. So they're not interested. They just hit and run business. And then wa'iduhum, and promise them they'll get fun, they'll get the pleasure, they will get this. Inna then wama ya'iduhumu shaytanu illa ghurura. The promises of shaitan are nothing but a deception. Now when all the things come, now we start wondering where we went wrong. But from the start, everything was wrong. The income was wrong. The criteria, selection of spouse was wrong. And then the children, we brought them up also wrong. So all this, open chapter 17 and verse number 64, and you will find. So this is Ma'al Asafi Shadid, the harsh reality, which is very, very unfortunate, which has permeated and entered our society and tearing society up to pieces. Allah alone have mercy on us.
One more question, Ustad. I see there's a brother says here that I'm listening to you from Sentin, from my office, and I'm an attorney and a lawyer. About 20 minutes ago, you mentioned something about inheritance. Yes, I was involved in one of these cases as well. And saying here, Ustad, that there was not an Islamic will. But I, as a lawyer, I took 220,000 rand. Are you telling me I must give that money back? Dear Muftisab, I think you should watch how you speak, Ustad, lawyer.
You must remember you are first a Muslim and then you are a lawyer. So you must remember that. So we all are answerable towards Almighty Allah. You say you're a Muslim and I accept you're a Muslim and then you're a lawyer. So you must remember if somebody comes to you and the world is un-Islamic, you as a Muslim lawyer, Muslim attorney, then you should tell them that my allegiance is to Almighty Allah. My allegiance is to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My allegiance is to Deenul Islam, not to money. And use this, Mr. Lawyer, says the criteria. Surah 5, Surah Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 2. Wa ta'awanu alal birri wa taqwa. That you must cooperate with piety and righteousness. Wa la ta'awanu alal ismi wal udwan. And do not cooperate in sin and transgression. You, by your own admission, say that that is a Muslim person died. The world is un-Islamic. You just carried on. The money was good. You made 200,000 plus. Is that justified? Haram, obviously. Wow. We are not here to curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician, any government. We are here to propagate Islam. But what you have done, you have failed in your allegiance to Almighty Allah. You have failed in your allegiance to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have failed in your allegiance to Islam, and you gave preference to the worldly money because money is sweeter than honey. So that is the problem we are facing today. Habibuna rahmatul lil alamin sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna likulli ummatin fitna." For every ummah, nation, generation, there is a trial and a test. Wa fitna tu ummati al-mal, and the fitna and the trial and test for my ummah is the wealth and the money and so forth. So wakil sahab, lawyer sahab, advocate sahab, don't tell us your name or anything, but my function here is to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. And I told you this ayat which I quoted to you, remember, is for every lawyer, every maulana, every mufti, that we can't be looking at our own personal benefit and then trampling upon the Sharia, and then we think that we are good Muslims. There's much more to life than money, my brother lawyer.
21 minutes to 12 o'clock. We're going to go, inshallah, for an interval. I see the lawyer says he's going to phone Mufti Sahab after the program. He wants to speak to you, Ustad, after the program, Ustad.
You don't have to phone me, and I'm very busy. You must remember that. You can send me a message if you want there, and I got other programs, but I gave you the Islamic point of view that income is haram. You must remember that every lawyer, every accountant, every maulana, mufti, our allegiance is to Islam and not to people and not to the money. End of the story.
The voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the voice of the voiceless. 17 minutes to 12 o'clock, you are tuning in listening to The Bliss of Marriage. I see the brother says here, Ustad, that dear Mufti Sahab, did you hear what happened about ITV? People are speaking about this ITV and they're saying saying it belongs to Allah. Could please Mufti Sahib elaborate on this, Ustad?
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. That's exactly the point I'm making. Today people will do haram and then they will use Islam's name, they will use Allah's name and so forth. So many people are sending us messages, ITV, that the staff is protesting, inviting other people there, and they're saying they're not paid and I don't know all these issues and so forth. So our verdict is very clear. TV in Islam, you must remember, as is done today, is totally haram. Any person who's got common sense is no more common. You take TV stations, Arab countries, Muslim countries, non-Muslim countries, and just break down the percentage and see how many percentage is nudity, how many percent is zina, fornication, homosexuality, gay brigade, how many percentage is alcohol and drugs and crime and so forth. Every vice is glorified. And the adverts, you must remember that every second, third advert will be a haram advert. Now you, Hazrat Maulana Damat Barakat to him, I'm saying it sarcastically. So he goes on TV. He says, no, that we will give benefit. So Quran gave you the basis already. Quran said, when they asked Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding alcohol and regarding maisir, gambling, so what did the Quran say? That feehima ithbun kabir wa manafi'u linnas. That there is some benefit, but the vices and the sin is much more. Wa ithmuhuma akbaru min nafihima. So when the vices are much more, so Islam said it's totally haram and unacceptable. Surah number 2, Surah Baqarah, and verse number 219 to 220, you can read it. So of Surah Baqarah chapter 20. Now the point comes that to fool the people, hoodwink the people, now you say the TV belongs to Allah. So again you want to do collection in the name of Allah. I told you, remember this. This is the same clique. You must remember this. Therefore me, I don't call them Maulanas and Muftis. I address them by their first name. Because long time ago already, years ago, that they did such great disservice to Islam and everything hit the, you understand, became apparent and manifest last year, 2020, when they went to court to close the masajid and close the masajid even before the government said so. And to remove the Quran Sharifs and say that the Quran got virus, Allah forbid, the carpets got virus. So all this, Quran said, Surah 2 verse 114, لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيُوا وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them is disgrace. They know who they are. They come on TV, they put so much makeup, you must remember, to fool the people that we very white in complexion and fair in complexion. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, man Minna, whoever deceives us is not of us. Who you fooling? You must remember that. So all this here, everything you touch, Allah is going to disgrace you. And in the year after, a horrible, terrible punishment away. That is Quran. You can never get away from that. Wa may yuhini Allahu fama lahu min mukrim. Whosoever Almighty Allah humiliate this. Look at the kings and the princes and the rulers in the Muslim countries, Arab countries and others. Humiliated, disgrace. And look at our Taliban. Allah gave them such honor. Allah. Remember that with their chimples and their kurtas and big, big beards. So that is Allah. Wa tu izzu man tasha, wa tu dhillu man tasha. He gives honor to whoever he wants. He disgraces whoever he wants. So whether it's ITV or ATV or ABC or for us, Islamic, this haram, end of the story. And remember to use Allah's name there. Remember it is akin to kufr, that is, you must remember that you using Allah's name and making tawheen of it. So you are desecrating the holy sacred name of Allah. May Almighty Allah protect us from such blasphemy.
Ustad, Zakaria Zubaydi of Palestine, any idea who is that, Ustad?
Remember that the apartheid rogue terrorist regime of Israel, you must remember, they came into existence in 1948, and before that also they their gangs, the Haganah gang, the Stern gang, were murdering, massacring, you must remember, the Muslims and the Palestinians and so forth. All that is documented. You must be blind if you don't know all these things. Nevertheless, occupation is terrorism. So Almighty Allah, how He disgraced America, Europe, NATO, all of them, with a great victory, 9/11/2000. I sent it out this morning. 9/11. I don't know if you got it, Maulana. 9/11, you must remember, 2001, that they attacked, you must remember, they blame Afghanistan, who had nothing to do with 9/11. And they said that they are the culprits and they are guilty and so forth. So after 9/11, they attacked them and murdered and killed over 200,000 people there in Afghanistan. Thus, after 20 years, subhanallah, 9/11 comes and we see it's in the hands of the Taliban. So what you achieved? Zero. But humiliation and disgrace. So the Israeli apartheid rogue regime, remember, so in maximum prison, six brothers, they escaped, and they escaped with a spoon. What humiliation, disgrace. Allah has said, He has cursed the Jews. Allah has said, they are a nation, Allah will punish them till the day of Qiyamah. It means majority of them, chapter 7, verse 167, all this clearly enshrined, mentioned in the Quran. We don't carry favor, and therefore we say these Arab regimes standing like puppets in a line to make peace with Israel, Ghaddar. They are traitors to Islam and Muslims and the Palestinians. We're very clear on all these issues. So Zakaria Zubaydi was one of the six. And then they recaptured him, rearrested him, and now they are torturing him, persecuting him, and so forth. Electric shock. Now my question to the, where is America now? When Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazin, said that we're taking Israel to the ICC, then you, America, you put pressure on him that no, withdraw it and so forth. So why you don't put pressure on your Israeli haramis and tell them that what you are doing now is a war crime? You must remember that. That you are 14 years, you must remember, Gaza is under siege. So what you doing about that? So what you want to speak about Taliban, those rights for the woman, where's the woman's rights in Palestine? Where's the children's rights? Where's Zakaria Zubaydi's rights? So every convention, every law is broken, you must remember there and so forth. Where is Amnesty International? Where is the European Union? Where are our African leaders? Everyone up for sale? So it's an absolute disgrace, you must remember. Does money speak all languages? Have we sold our soul, remember, for money? Think properly. This life is very short. Tomorrow everything will be exposed. وَمَا لَحَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This worldly life is nothing. It's just doka kasamane. It is just goods of deception. We saw millionaires and how their empire crumbled and they lost. You know about Adnan Khashoggi? Go read his life. When people told him, Adnan, you're a multi-billionaire, give charity, he say, go tell Allah, I'm not in charge of charity. That was his arrogance and pride. He lost his whole empire and everything. The day he had to fly from London to Jeddah or Riyadh, his friend gave him sadqa money and said, Adnan, you never gave sadqa, today I give you sadqa, get out and go from here. So that is Allah. Remember that. Allah ki lati be awaze. So don't get fooled with all these things here. Yeah? The time for Israel. Look at the disgrace and humility. Till now, two of them they can't catch. Even if they catch them, the fact remains, Israel will always remain an apartheid regime and humiliated and disgraced. So you, the Ummah, we have to make dua for our 39-40 brothers in Gitmo. The indelible stain on the American dictatorship started from Bush, went to Obama, went to Trump, and now Biden. All whole lot you can say. And thereafter, our sister Dr. Afia in a hellhole there. Now our brothers, sisters, children in Palestine. So, and what about Syria? The Kuffar, Shia regime there. 100% Kuffar there. How many of our Sunnis, you must remember, are in jail? So all these things, just because they are Sunni. So you need to understand the real politics going on.
So the sister says here, Ustad, the dear Mufti Sab, what about all those Maulanas who appear on TV shows, Ustad, etc.? Is it permissible to invite them for Juma lectures, Ustad? And to read read behind him? Because my husband reads behind him, Ustad.
You must remember we passed the fatwa long time ago. We don't call them ulama. To call them ulama is an insult. You must remember that. You go to all these organizations and go see their fatwa verdicts of 20, 25, 30 years ago. They were the ones on the front line saying TV is haram, then is this. But when the perks came, when the publicity came, the riya came, summa came, that how you can become a political person like, you know, a Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood star. So they said, fine, let us take indeed. This is khidmat of Islam. So it's not khidmat of Islam. The khidmat of Islam is yu'minuna bil ghaib. You believe in the unseen. They changed it to yu'minuna bil jayb. They said, let us make quick money. Therefore, I tell them on their faces, they scholars for dollars, to read salat behind them is not permissible. And remember, if you read salat behind them, you have to repeat it. And second one is this, to invite them to your madrasas, to your darulums, to invite them to your functions. All this is haram, is a disgrace to invite them there. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Just now I quoted the verse, Surah 5, verse number 2. These are principles of Islam, golden principles.
I see there's a brother saying here, but 70% of the programs on ITV is about Islamic, Hadith, Quranic ayat. So how can you say, Ustad, we shouldn't follow ITV?
So you must remember that if it was Islamic and so forth, then one non-Muslims are speaking about it. They say that you haven't paid us wages, you haven't done this. So what good is it there? Allah Ta'ala is disgracing you already here. So I'm asking you, you have so much big water and you put all urine there inside, you put alcohol inside. So even by your admission, your 70% is a lie, but let's stay go with it. Your 30% is still haram content. Yeah. So when your 30% is haram content, so how do you justify it and legalize it? It's a lie to say 70%, but the 30% by your own admission you're saying is haram. So how can you say that you can't have haq and batil together? You can't have zamzam and urine together. You can't have zamzam and normal water and there's urine there, alcohol there together, brother. That much common sense you got, although common sense is not so common nowadays.
Haq Ustad, Mufti Sahab, I am in a dilemma. A boy came to see my daughter sometime back and we turned the proposal down due to certain uncertainties. Now someone else phoned to come see her and the boy who proposed previously now comes back in the picture clearing the previous doubts. Do we tell the people who phone to hold on, or do we allow these people to come and consider them first? Basically, who do we consider first, Ustad? The second boy seems to be also from a good family.
Go for the second boy. You must remember that there was always a cloud of uncertainty. Maybe they removed it and so forth. Allah alone know whether they're speaking the truth or not. But the second family who's coming now, give them a fair chance for your beloved daughter and so forth. End of the day, it's I don't know you, I don't know your daughter, but I have to be fair to everybody. And as an independent observer, I always tell you that this advice we're giving for 20 years over the radio with Allah's help. When somebody comes to propose for your daughter, sister, do your homework. What do I mean? That he comes from a certain town, right? A certain place, a city, whatever. So ask the ulama, this mu'tayyid, they came and he proposed, does he read salat? Which masjid he reads salat? If he don't read salat, what you even thinking about giving him is disqualified, finish. Second, go look and study his belief structure. Today you get Qadianis, you get Aga Khanis, you get Kufar Shias, you get all these characters and they all will tell you they're Muslim, but they're all non-Muslim. Qadianis are non-Muslim, Shias are non-Muslim, Aga Khanis are non-Muslim, but they all carry Muslim names. So that you have to do your homework. Second one is what is his income? So you must remember that. If the income is haram, it's disqualified straight away. Third, what is the age? You need a little bit compatibility also, you know. You can't be getting a 50-year-old and you're looking for 18-year-old tat, you know. So we're not speaking about now, this permissible. We're speaking about our times now. Quran also says, Uruban Atraba. There must be some compatibility and the age and all. Thereafter, you must remember how is his akhlaq and character and so forth. So is he on a short fuse and so forth? He'll bash his wife up Allah forbid. Thereafter, the questions you must ask is this, that, okay, if we give our daughter, where will she live? Mm. Will she live independently, separately, or the in-laws? These are all pertinent questions you need to ask and so forth, and there's nothing wrong. You, the father, have to ask, not your daughter, have to ask all these questions. Then you make your second lesson, make istikhara, make mashura, and then there's no hurry, then you give the final answer and so forth. Mm. One more question, inshallah.
I see the sister says, dear Mufti Sahib, my husband and my sister, they are so close. Do you think I should stress about this? I do trust them, dear Mufti Sahib. He takes her everywhere, so am I wrong to think like this? I'm just asking, dear Mufti Sahib. This is also let from Roshni Ustad.
Let me get this question clear. Your husband is married to you, mm-hmm. ABC. And ABC, you got your sister XYZ. And your husband goes with your sister. Mm-hmm. So what is haram and you saying, no, it's okay, I must... Absolutely haram it is, you must remember this. This is where all the problems come about. We take the laws of parda, hijab, throw it away. Tomorrow when you can't put butter next to the stove and expect nothing to happen, you know. Something when the sparks start flying, then you're wondering there. You must tell your sister it's haram for you to speak to my husband and tell your hubby he got no business to be talking to your sister and moving around with her and all that. Whether it is 20-year-old sister or 12-year-old sister, it's all haram to go alone and so forth. So you must be clear on all these issues here. Remember, Islam is a way of life. You don't come alive only Ramadan time and Jummah time and so forth. Okay, inshallah, next up will be the news with Brother Yusuf Ali, and thereafter Maulana Suleiman Qattani, the culture called Dunya. There's a good lecture, you should listen to it between 12 and 1, between 1:05 to 1:30 after the Zohar Azan, then my tafsir on Surah Kahf, and that will be verses 40 to 44, and then 1:30 to 2 we go to the archives, and that is Surah Yunus chapter 10 verse 90. Then 2 to 3 will be Madrasa on Imam Maulana Zahid Khan, 3 to 3:30 the repeat of this morning's Q&A, 3:30 to 4 the Urdu lecture, Qurbani ka Athar, so we have to make sacrifice for the love of Allah, Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Devla Sahib, inshallah, 4 to 5 Ulumul Quran, Mufti Yusuf Mangera, 5 to 7 Maulana Khalid Yaqub, and then 7 to 7:30 the repeat of my tafsir, inshallah, of today, 7:30 to 8 Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimullah's advices, 8 to 10 will be Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan, and inshallah, after that will be Maulana Ridwan Qaji's lecture, Barakallahu Fiq, between 10 and 11, Barakallahu Fiq. Now the news, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
And 4 to 6, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah, tomorrow morning, don't miss out. Up next, Haji Yusuf Ali with the 12 o'clock news.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.